This is Great FM, a podcast series by Great HR. Produced by Timber Media.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Great FM. Mahalia, your host, keeping you company as always. And today we're dipping our toes back into the AI pond, but this time to talk about the rise of AI agents. Now, before we go any further, I do think it's important that we all agree on a definition of what an AI agent really is. And just so I could get a little meta for this episode, I decided to use ChatGPT for the definition. It's like asking a person to define themselves, right? It's the best thing. So what this threw up is that agents are defined as autonomous systems that can plan, execute, and optimize tasks across workflows with minimal human supervision. I think it's fair for us to agree on that. And the other thing I think we can all agree on is that agents and AI are becoming a lot more prevalent in our workplaces. We're all using AI. It is augmenting our workflows, task management, and everything in between, really. In fact, by 2027, adoption of agentic AI is expected to grow by as much as 327 to 383%. I know it's a very specific number, but that's a huge growth margin, right? And with many HR leaders planning to redeploy nearly a quarter of their workforce to work alongside these systems, this is a topic of conversation that is urgent and relevant. But, you know, it also turns out that the picture isn't as rosy as we may think. It's not just about deploying these agents and letting them do all of the work we no longer want to do, right? While 78% of workers expect AI agents to be used in their organizations by the end of 2026, only 36% report having been trained on how to work with them. So investments are climbing, but organizational readiness severely lags behind. So today we're going to talk about what HR leaders must get right when introducing AI agents into the workplace, both for their teams as well as the larger organization, right? Ethical guardrails, implementation strategies, change management, and sustainable adoption. So here to help us unpack all of that is Ashwini Kumar, CHRO for Electronica Finance Limited. Hi, Ashwini. Welcome to the podcast. Thank you so much for joining us here.
Hi, Ahilya. Thanks for having me here.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, Ashwini, you do bring a unique lens given the industries that you have actively participated in over your, you know, 15 plus year career. So I'm really excited for all the insights that you're going to be bringing to the table today. Whenever we have a conversation about AI, I think it's always important to start on a personal note, right? So if you could just take us through, how do you use AI agents if you use them in the current state? And what's been your experience with them so far?
So first, let me tell you that I was introduced to AI agents. When I say AI agents, is the latest AI tools what we have last year. And before that, I was with Mahindra, and I was very ace in terms of AI ML implementation, various strategic projects I have implemented over there. So here, introduction to the agentic AI tools, which has happened last year, I'll say it's really a boon for the industry. And I myself use extensively all these AI tools. Whatever four or five well-known tools are there. So I use very extensively for my personal and even for professional career life. So that way it really helps me in better decision-making. It gives me a lot of insights. I gather a lot of summary and information. And then it really helps me in better decision-making and also improvising on the productivity part of it. So it takes less time and you get the various data and data points at one click. So that's a big help, no doubt about it. At the team level, I have introduced these things. Created a lot of awareness to the team. I myself have trained my team. And now what I see is that those team members are taking less time. They're less exhausted. And they are better off in terms of managing their own self and their productivity.
You know, I think what strikes me just at the start of this conversation is that AI and AI agents as well seem to offer this opportunity of augmentation, right? It's not that much about replacement. And I think that's a common sentiment that's been developing in, you know, the conversation around the future of work. Yes. So to segue into how the agentic AI revolution is really going to affect the HR fraternity at large, you know, we have so many HR professionals listening to this podcast every single time a new episode comes out. So talk to us a little bit about the strategic considerations that HR teams are going to have to make note of as this agentic AI revolution takes place as well, side by side.
Well, agentic AI, I think it gives real power of automation and it saves a lot of time and cost and the exertion what any individual or team can have. What I see is currently, whatever tools we have in the market, it is far more capable than the older version of chatbots. I think 2 years back, the chatbot was in trend. Mm-hmm. And it is far more capable and flexible and scalable than before. In the role of CHRO or in the role of HR transformation head role, I think agentic AI should be taken as a strategic project. It's not only an automation tool. Rather, it should be taken up by the management as a how we can redefine the human AI collaboration and create a better work ecosystem.
Right.
It is my principle or take on this new rise of AI tools. And if I say for HR point of view, there should not be any anxiety in the HR fraternity. Because rather than, replacing, as you told, it is really augmenting. It is really a kind of, becoming a partner in our productivity. And I think it's a revolutionary shift from the process owner mindset to the workforce architect mindset, which is now it's a very important phase for the HR fraternity that, yes, we should adopt it and leverage to the best. Now, coming to the strategic considerations, of course, every organization, they have this kind of a prominent agenda point that, yes, AI adoption should be there. A lot of companies are trying. A lot of companies have done the pilot. A lot of have failed. And those things, of course, as we progress in our chat, we'll talk about it. But here I see that AI agents really helps team. If I talk about my company, of course, we have taken a lot of advantage of AI in terms of, resume screening, recruitment TAT reduction, and then even the various policy managements, creating awareness. And we have also used AI as a career mentor. So those things, of course, I'll be talking more about that as we go into deep conversations.
Okay, perfect. But I think it's also important to sort of break down this gap that we might be experiencing, right? So how can HR professionals practically work towards closing the gap between ideation and actual effective adoption when it comes to agentic AI? I'm sure you as a CHRO managing such a large people team have a play-by-play, right? Or you have your own playbook by which you ensure that agentic AI is socialized in the workforce in a useful way rather than it just staying this fancy idea or fancy new tool.
So I'll take you to my own experience and nothing to be, shy sharing such kind of experiences when we are in the corporate world. So when this agentic AI tools have come last year, it was very, relevant to the market. So even I thought, why not to, take more brownie points in my kitty and, we'll show it to management that we are taking a technology initiative. And that is how you earn more brownie points and HR is taken up as a very serious and a kind of a pioneer in the AI adoption in that company. So I took one project. It miserably failed. And there were, pitfalls and those were the learnings. Which I gathered, and I thought that no, these are the things I should keep in mind before implementing another tool. So I'll say a lot of people, from ideation to adoption to execution, they don't have clarity from top line to top to bottom. So now ideation to adoption to execution is a real test of leadership. So the clarity in terms of ideation itself, that what tool to be used, whether this tool will solve my business problem or not. Such kind of questions should be asked before just taking any kind of technology initiative.
Mm-hmm.
It should not be like, I'm taking an initiative and I'll earn a brownie point. But rather, I should think of if I'm using this HR or AI, agentic AI tool, then what solution I bring it on the table to the business and to the HR as well. Fine. So I'll say many organizations are really excited about this AI and the agentic AI tools. But they really, struggle in the journey from concept to piloting to scaling up stages. Many people, they are not able to conceptualize. Many people, they pilot, but they fail. And scaling up is the, actually when you fail in pilot itself, then scaling up becomes a very challenging kind of thing. There's no question of scaling up. So yes, I have the playbook. So the first step I'll say, don't take AI tool just as an experiment. That I'll do some experiment, I'll show to the management and I'll win some brownie points. Never ever do that. First of all, think of that, yes, if I'm adopting anything, what is the structural process of adopting?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And show the real picture to the management. That's the best thing you can do for yourself. And there should be a kind of management discussion and thrashing out of what business problem we are going to solve. That is very important. Now you have so many AI tools, you'll get overwhelmed that what tool, I'm using this also, that also. And don't take it as a tech initiative. It's not a technology initiative. It's a solution to a business problem.
Mm-hmm.
If you have this thing in mind, and when you project your AI tool, agentic AI tool, that this I am implementing to solve this business problem or this HR problem, let me tell you, there'll be a huge buy-in from the leadership team. And the moment you get the buy-in, their blessings, automatically you will see that a lot of people have come on your board to help you, you know, execute that project. So that is the first step one should do. The second step in the playbook is identify three high impact workforce challenges. At least three you identify for the whole year when you are creating your own AOPs and all. And map all the HR processes which are linked to those workforce challenges, those three high impact. And map the processes and map the KPI. Then what you do is see that which AI tool can quickly deliver me and augment to these three challenges and give me some quick wins and deliver some quick wins. Mm-hmm. So moment you have such kind of a framework and a kind of a, you know, mind mapping done, it will be very easy to, you know, tell your team also, give better clarity for execution to the team also, and even convey to the management that this is my project, what I'll be taking, and this is a timeline I'll be implementing. So those things are very important. Third step, what I'm to convey to our people is, first run the pilots in the controlled environment. That is very important. When I say controlled environment, take one HR process, take one business unit, take one geography. Don't just go gung-ho implementing the whole organization. Don't do that. Because if it fails by chance, by any chance, it will be a big backlash. So best is that first run pilots in a very controlled environment. Select those HR process, select those business units or geography where you have a better buy-in and implement. Get the feedback from the stakeholders. Continuous feedback is important. Keep improvising your AI tools. If there is any bias and all, remove those biases in the tools itself to avoid any kind of backlash. So this is a very important thing. And if you feel that, yes, this is really successful, showcase that success story to the stakeholders, to the management, have a again buy-in and implement in the whole organization. So that is the next step. And the last step, what I'll talk about is that whatever you have quick wins, showcase those early success stories and outcomes to your stakeholders. Very important. Because moment you showcase that in one business unit, I had a success, the stakeholders of other business unit, you'll have a better buy-in.
Mm-hmm.
So that way, of course, you talk about how it has saved my time, cost saving, time saving, how the manager's productivity can be increased, team's productivity can be increased, how it can improve the employee satisfaction or customer satisfaction as well. So I think that way, you'll have better buy-in and better blessings for the management to implement organization-wide. So that is, I think, a playbook, what I have in mind and what I do to execute.
Perfect. What a great playbook. And I'm so glad we got a sneak peek at it because it all really does start with purpose, right? I think having clarity, like you said, is absolutely foundational and you cannot compromise on that one step because it tends to guide every single thing that you do. And I also do feel, from your playbook, what I've realized is that AI and agentic AI and the implementation of it needs to be thought of strategically rather than just a thing to throw into different workflows and processes, right? It's not just about making work easier. It's also about making work better and making it better in the long run. So how do we do that? Well, by following your playbook. So thank you for taking us through that, Ashwini. That also brings up this point of concerns though, right? I think with any new technology, and we've seen this happen throughout history in cycles, right? There's excitement and then there are concerns. They're basically two sides of the same coin. So with agentic AI, there are of course concerns that people have over ethics, transparency, bias like you brought up, right? And accountability as well. So how can HR professionals get this side of the work right? And I think HR teams are perfectly positioned to be the ones to get it right, because they're working with both the people as well as the technology, right?
So, Ahilya, in my view, agentic AI really brings a very, important aspect of real automation and improvisation in the productivity in terms of time and cost. But I'll say here, the HR professionals should have kind of a very important aspect to know that you should be more literate on the new tools. So education on the new tools, agentic AI tools, is very important. So deep dive into that, what each agentic AI tool is made of. So what is the algorithm working behind that particular tool? Because when you know that particular algorithm working behind the tool, I'm not saying that you are a data science guy or you are a AI ML expert, you can know everything about neural network or random forest or maybe the large language model. But what I'm saying is at least understand what algorithm is working, so that you understand that what biases it can create when I implement. So that way, a little education on this particular for the HR professionals are required. Now, when it comes to the algorithms should not become a black box for the HR professionals. That is my objective. Then HR people can really, our faculty can easily implement such kind of agentic AI tools and also can explain to the stakeholders. That is very important because the tools which are not able to explain the biases what the tools create, ethical issues that those agentic AI tools create, if you're not able to explain it, it'll be a kind of a disaster for the implementation itself or the buying. So that way, HR professionals, of course, they should be literate in terms of agentic AI tools, algorithms, their biases, and the black box should not be there in the mind. Now, point number two. When I talk about this ethics, transparency, bias, accountability, every algorithm will have some kind of bias. I'm a data science expert. I practice a lot of data models I have implemented in my previous organizations. And you'll see that in financial services organizations, a lot of attrition modeling, credit risk modeling are very prominent things, prominent data models. So in this kind of model also, because of the various data points, the system creates bias. The agentic AI tools also will create bias. So understanding that biasness is very, very important. Now, coming to the various ethical point of view and transparency, now HR should also understand what is my DPDP Act, Data Privacy Act, what is the GDPR regulations and all. And when I am using the data sources for AI models and agentic AI workflows, I should be compliant with those DPDP and GDPR models, regulations. Otherwise, you're breaching that particular thing, and a lot of red flags can come or escalations can come later. So those aspects has to be taken care of or kept in mind. Third thing, always when you're implementing AI tools or you're assessing or selecting the AI tools and all, I'll say that implement a cross-functional governance council kind of thing, which can always cross-question you that why you want to implement this. What is the benefit of this? What is the outcome of this? What are the pros and cons of this? What are the biasness? What are the compliance issues or regulatory issues can come up? So such council can question you. So that is very important, and that council can act as a PMO as well. So that way, of course, it will boost your decision making. It will better off your decision making. And the last thing what I say is that we have to go for responsible AI. Fine, AI will have biasness. AI will have accountability issues. And HR will always be in pursuit of responsible and human-centric AI. But at the same time, when we are implementing the workflows, agentic AI workflows, we have to keep in mind that whichever decisions are complex, ambiguous, those things should be routed through a moderator or an approver mechanism.
Right.
If that has been ensured, then you can be pretty much relaxing and you'll not have any kind of escalations. So that is what I think. These are the biases, 2-3 biases, I'll say that. Ethical issues and which can be tackled in this form.
No, absolutely. And that brings up a very important point of human intervention, right? The other thing I feel that there's a lot of conversation about right now is what can AI agents actually do and do well, and what can't they do, right? Or what shouldn't they do? So I'm interested to also know your thoughts on where agentic work should stop and where human judgment should remain.
See, anyway, agentic AI tools are being created by us only.
And, true.
And any data science or AML guy knows the capability of agentic AI tools. And they also know that, the cons of that AI tools. So when I myself was tweaking one neural network model, I knew that this kind of biasness will set in. And I told my MD that this kind of thing can happen. So I'm just, keeping you apprised of this particular thing. So such things people know. Of course, the data science team, which creates such kind of agentic AI tools in such kind of companies, they know that. Now, coming to the how we can what agentic AI tools can do, what human judgment, what should be boundary? Another, I'll say, what should be boundary of agentic AI tools and human judgment? So I'll say, in many critical situations, you'll find that human judgment can't be replaced by agentic AI tools.
Yeah.
Agentic AI tools are many times being used for, processing huge data. So such kind of situation, agentic AI tools can really help and solve the problem. But wherever it comes to moral reasoning, contextual ethics, any kind of complex ambiguities, it can have a setback or maybe a fallout. Like, say, for example, if I have to promote someone, I have a competency and roadmap. I have everything the last 2-3 years, kind of a performance scores also. But when you are talking about promotion, it should be more thought through decision, because it can, the one wrong decision can create a lot of problem in terms of employee dissatisfaction, and you can lose a high performer. Layoffs, when you have finalizing the list of layoffs.
Right.
Any kind of conflict resolution. Fine. Any kind of sensitive disciplinary actions we are taking out. Fine. Any kind of career conversations we are having. So such things, AI agentic tools will not be able to give a justice to that or do the justice to that. So there, I think a human intervention or involvement is of prime importance, and it can never be replaced with the human interactions, what I feel.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I just want to actually segue from that into another question about some guardrails that HR should establish to ensure ethical and responsible use, right? You just brought up some very key situations in which AI and agentic AI should not hold all the power. And I think areas like recruitment, performance evaluation, employee data, for example, right? All of these are contexts in which their power should be limited. So talk to me a little bit about how HR can sort of regulate those areas.
See, it's very, very critical for HR to have a governance on this agentic AI tools. Otherwise, there'll be a lot of fallout and a lot of escalations. So what I understand is organizations should have a structured governance framework and guardrails. It is very, very important. One is, of course, first, when you have any kind of AI, agentic AI tools in place, or maybe, you know, in the market, you want to understand what are the use cases of that. Fine. So any management or any HR head will try to understand what are the use cases of that. And then they try to understand that, yes, this is a good initiative and I can take it in my organization as well. So first of all, I'll say, rather than having an individual decision making and understanding that what are the use cases, form a council. Form an AI PMO council, and that will not only help for HR, that will help across organization, whether you know, operation team is building up, or maybe the customer relations team are building up, or maybe the business team itself, or IT team itself. So form an AI PMO kind of thing, governing council, which can, you know, have a power, which will have a power to go through all the AI use cases in the market, who can do the filtration, who can ask all the, you know, difficult questions, and then talk about, yes, this is my AI tool which can solve my business problem and which is very important for the business as of now, fine? And that particular council will also help in promoting the adoption part of it. So that is very important. Second, governance and guardrail, I'll say that these cross-functional governing councils will always have an authority to check the AI workflows. Cross-checking of workflows are very important because sometimes it breaks, sometimes it gives you very, you know, wrong data, and based on wrong data and all, you may take a wrong decision, which can be detrimental for the organization.
Yeah.
So they will have authority to check the authenticity of the data sources used by various agentic AI tools and AI models. They will also have authority to check the compliance issues if that is arising, anything out of DPDP Act or GDPR regulations. They will have checks and balances, and they will keep highlighting. So that is the role of an AI PMO and governing council. Second thing, what I say is you should have an audit on such agentic AI tools. Audit means wherever there is a kind of decisions, complex decisions are involved, of course, you should route through moderator and approval mechanism. But at the same time, the periodic audit really helps in understanding the bias detection. Because AI tool, whatever you feed in terms of algorithm, that will execute only to that extent. Mm-hmm. AI tool will not be adding extra value to that. Fine. So bias detection and checks are very important. And those things should be reported to the council, and further, any kind of corrective measures should be taken. So that is how I think we can bring in more ethics, we can have a guardrails, and we can have a governance framework across it.
Absolutely. I think it's a very important aspect of the conversation that has to be had, right? And it's also, I think, because AI and agentic AI are constantly evolving, right? Our strategies around it also need to constantly evolve. So the conversation needs to keep being had. Another aspect is the huge cultural implications that this evolution is going to have in the workplace, right? Mm-hmm. How, as a CHRO, Ashwini, how do you think HR can manage change and adoption so that employees don't feel threatened or left behind by AI agents? And I have a feeling communication is going to be a big part of your answer here, but I'll let you take the lead on it.
Anything when you say that it's a change management or, you know, adoption, cultural transformation, it starts with you. And I'll say the leader, whether it's an HR leader or whosoever takes up this project, they should walk the talk. So first of all, you take up one project and you do the pilot, you show it off to the, you should have those guardrails and governance frameworks, and then show it to management and to the organization with a pilot that, yes, this can be done. And this has these kind of positive outcomes. So that is more important, walk the talk. But what I'll say is for the whole organization and the leadership team as well, it's very important to have a mindset shift and not only a technological shift. So AI adoption and any kind of change management is more of a that first leadership team adopts it, buys it and adopts it. And then rather than only looking at it as a technological shift, or it'll just, you know, add one or two things to my performance management kitty or something, it should not be taken up like this. But rather, you should leadership team should be thinking about that, how this kind of revolution can bring in the change in the mindset of my team. And you know, if the mindset is changed, of course, that is a 50% win in terms of project implementation. Now, how to win the mindset is, first of all, of course, walk the talk is very important. The leaders should learn also various agentic AI tools usage, and they should talk about it. So that is very important. People will really get inspired. Team will really get inspired about it. Second thing is creating awareness on AI as a productivity partner, and not the replacement of team. So many companies will see that, of course, various individuals and teams have employees have anxiety that what will happen to my job? AI has come up. These tools have come up. So we have to mention and create awareness on that AI is your productivity partner and not a kind of replacement for you. Fine. That is another thing. Second thing is people who are really taking up AI projects and, you feel that, of course, they can be further replaced, rather than giving them kind of a, replacement thing, upskill them. When these, such kind of job roles are being done by the agentic AI tools, such people can be upskilled or reskilled for other roles. Fine. So we have to, as HR professionals, we have to design career paths, various career progressions for such kind of job roles and employees to grow to the next level, or I'll say to grow into the next role altogether. So that is very, very important piece. So when any employee will have kind of an understanding of that, yes, my management says that AI is a productivity partner and not a replacement for you, and organization will also help you upskilling and reskilling to design your career path make you learn new things new agentic AI tools or maybe another role as well. That gives a lot of employee security, job security. And that is how I think people will not feel threatened and adopt. Rather, they will adopt AI and welcome it as a productivity partner.
Absolutely. You know, Ashwini, I have to say thank you so much for your step-by-step insights. They're expert insights, of course, but I think when it comes to a conversation like AI and agentic AI, one of the biggest needs of the hour is really being able to apply all of that into the workplace, right? And I think this conversation has given that to everyone listening. So thank you so much. Before we sign off, is there any last thoughts that you'd like to close with for our audience?
Yeah, so I'll say that to my HR fraternity, as well as the corporate world listening to me, that of course we should welcome this AI, ML, and new agentic AI tools, whatever we have in place. We should welcome it. We should make most use of it, leverage it to the core, so that we can really improve our productivity and solve the business problems. So I'll say that AI, of course, is a boon to me. It will certainly amplify the human judgment, and it will not replace the human judgment. So not to get worried about this. Rather, take it as a partner to your role.
Absolutely, right? We don't have to fear what we understand. And I think education and conversations like this and hopeful messages from industry leaders such as yourself usually do the trick. So thank you so much, Ashwini, for joining us on this episode of Great FM. And to everyone listening, I'm sure this has given you a lot of actionable insights, but it is a conversation that's going to keep evolving, and you can count on us to keep having it. So we'll catch you on the next episode. Thanks so much for tuning in.
This is Great FM, a podcast series by Great HR. Produced by Timber Media.